So we're on Daf Nun Vav Hamad Aleph, and we're up to Tana Rabbanan. Let's just see. It's a Tana Rabbanan. So that's where we get up to last time, and we're talking now about how to convert basically the city that's round into a square, because we're going to allow for the extra corners on each side of the circle, and that's going to expand our Tchum Shabbos. So it's not like the cases that we discussed last time where we have houses that jut out beyond the borders and we can expand the city boundaries to those houses. But now we're talking about expanding it just by way of mathematical conversion, so to speak, just by converting it. Tana Rabbanan, Bala Rabba, when he wants to convert the city, which is circular, into a square. So how does he do it? He says the following. Nosein is Maraba Beribua Olam. In other words, first of all, he's got to get his direction straight. And he's going to use the regular four directions of the world, which is, of course, north, south, east, and west. So that's called Nosein Tzfona L'Tzfona Olam. So he sets up the city. Imagine if he has like a map, so to speak, of the city. He sets up his map such that the north is on the north of the earth. Droma, the south part of the city, is Lidroma Olam. It corresponds to the south of the world. And he's basically just simply using the directions of the world. And the Tana mentions north and south. I mean, Tana could have just as easily have mentioned east and west. Perhaps it mentions north and south because later on the Gemara is going to offer you a way of figuring out which way is north if you don't have a compass. The Simonach. Now, if you want to determine where the north is and where the south is, and you're not sure because, as we said before, you don't have a compass, so then Egla Batsafon. Egla, he says here in the translation, is a group of stars, otherwise known as Mazel Shar. In English, it's called Taurus. And if you look up at the sky, you will see the constellation of Taurus. And you'll know that that's the north. That's the northern direction. So he shows you where. I have like a colored diagram here in the Masifta. He's got the round city on the face of the globe. And above it, beyond it, he has the sky. And he shows you the Egla on the left side. And the top part of the Egla, because the Egla looks like almost like a rectangle, but the right part, the right top on the right side is a little bit higher. I guess that's more north than the other constellations. So by looking at the Egla, he determines where the north is. He writes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, Harotza lechavim tzofon ha'olam is yira mokom ha'egla bashamayim v'hu tzofon ha'olam. Now, kenegda, if you would draw like a straight line from left to right, which now means from north to south, you will reach the what's called the Akrov, which I think in English is called Cancer. And that's going to be on the south side. And again, he shows you what this looks like in the picture. It's sort of like a little bit of a dipper, and the handle of the dipper, which is on the bottom of Akrov, has one point that is most southerly. So you've got the Egla on the north, and you've got the Akrov on the south. That's what I have over here. And this leads us up to Rabbi Yossi. Now, before we get to Rabbi Yossi, let me just read a kind of an introduction here. I don't want to read every single word. It's quite lengthy in the English translation. And he says that when we look at the sun as it rises each day, so we know it rises in the east and sets in the west, but it's not always at the same point in the horizon. And it's going to be a difference between the summer and the winter. So what he does is, he imagines himself standing on the ground and drawing a line, obviously an imaginary line, from himself to the horizon. And what's in front of him is the east, and what's behind him is the west. And what he's going to notice is that in the summer months, the summer, if you draw the line of the arch, I guess you'd call it, of the sun, which rises in the east and sets in the west, you're going to always see it during the northern period of, I'm sorry, during the summer period of time as being north. So it's above that line that draws him from the east behind him to the west in front of him. And the opposite is going to be true during the winter. And in the winter, he's going to see the rising and the setting of the sun on a more southerly point. Now, which day of the year does it reach? Does the sun reach its most northerly part and its most southerly part? Its northerly part it reaches in what's called the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year in the part of the world that's above the equator. And in the winter, the sun will reach its most southerly point at the winter solstice. Now, he hasn't yet discussed what we call the equinoxes, because we have the spring and the autumn equinox. And at those are the points that I guess are right in the middle. It's neither the archway of the sun is not so north, it's not so south, it's more or less in the middle. And what I think is what happens is that at the equinoxes, you're going to have 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. Whereas in the summer period, you're going to have mostly day and shorter nights, and in the winter you'll have shorter days and longer nights. All this has to do with the astronomy of how the Earth is shaped and the curvature and the sun rising and sunset. He goes on and he says furthermore that this arch, or he calls it arc, of the sun's path is tilted at an angle towards the Earth. So if you're in the northern hemisphere, he says from 23.5 degrees north latitude all the way up to the Arctic Circle, then noontime sun, which I guess is when the sun reaches its zenith, is never going to be overhead. And it's always going to be in the south. And this is true even during the summer months. And that has to do with the fact that the arc of the sun moves forward, further south each day from the summer to the winter. And when he gets to the winter solstice, which we said is the shortest day of the year, at that point, the sun reaches the most southerly point, and then the process reverses itself towards summertime. Now, he speaks here about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is 31.8 degrees north latitude, and the noontime sun in the summer solstice will be at 8.3 degrees south of the point of the celestial sphere directly above the observer. On the winter solstice, on the other hand, it's 55.3 degrees to the south. Okay. So we'll try to get a little bit of a feeling for this as we go along. Tana Rabbana. So that we did Tana Rabbana. Now we're up to Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says that im einu yodea l'rabba beribuo shel olam, if he is incapable of aligning the square around the round city with the directions of the earth. In other words, he can't look up at the various constellations. So I guess he's not aware neither of Egla in the north nor of Akrav in the south. So is there another way that he can figure out the directions of the world? And he says, Merabba kemin hatkufa. He says the following, Yacholu leida heichan hu tzad darom, heichan tzad tafon, lufi seder hiluch hachama v'sivuva. Now he's able to look at the arc of the sun, as it rises in the east and sets in the west. And he can tell us, he can figure out where is the north and where is the south. Ketzad, Chama Yotza, the sun begins to rise, Biyom Aroch, on the longest day of the year, which is called the summer solstice. We call it in Hebrew Tkufas Tammuz, is Vashokas, and it sets Biyom Aruch, on that same day, which is Tkufas Tammuz, Zeu Pnei Tzofon. So at Tkufas Tammuz, when the days are the longest days and the nights are the shortest nights of the year, then the sun travels during the day Mishlosha Mitzadadei Ha'olam, Mitzadadei Ha'olam. So the Chama Malechus Bayom Mishlosha Mitzadadei Ha'olam, and that means Mizrach, Dorom, Umarov. So we left out Sofon for a minute. Why? He says, Hainu Shizorachas, when the sun rises, it's Bekeren Mizrachis Tzfonis. So it's going to rise It's going to rise on the, sorry, I need a pencil here. Pencil will help me. It's going to rise on the northeastern side. Okay. The northeastern side, because as we said before, the sun in its arc is always on the north, if you're in the upper hemisphere. Umaleches biyom, and during the course of the day, it goes for the entire, across the entire east, until it hits the southern side. So in other words, what he's looking at is the northeast traveling towards the northwest, from east to west on the north. And now the sun is going to set at that point, which is the, like, if you call it maybe the 90 degree angle, where north meets west. So that side of the world that he's looking at, where the sun is traveling from east to west, is going to be in the north. And that's how he could find the, you know, the north. So again, to find the east and west is not a big deal. He just watches the sun rise and the sun set. He imagines himself an arc. And then what he's going to see is that the sun, starting on the north, on the northeast, is going to basically travel in a southerly direction, come all the way around and all the way on top again, and it's going to set on the northwestern side. So it travels from northeast, going all the way around to the northwest. And that's how he's going to be able to determine which direction is north. Chama Yotza B'yom Katsar. Now we're in the opposite Tkufa, which is the winter solstice. That's called Tkufas Teves, which is the shortest day of the year. And on that day, what he's going to be seeing is that Yotza Vishokas B'yom Katsar. So I guess he's looking, so I'm just trying to figure out where it starts from. It starts from Zricha. And what's going to happen in the case of the winter solstice is that the sun is going to turn not on the northeastern side, but rather on the southeastern side. And it's going to go from the southeastern side all the way to the west. And it's going to circle around until it settles. I'm sorry, I meant to say all the way to the south. So it's going from east to west on the southern line, going all the way around, making its arc, and ending up at the southeastern point. And that's called Zeu Pnei Daron. And because in Tkufas Teves the days are shorter and the nights are longer, so the sun is not going to travel towards the north, but rather towards the south. So it's going to rise in the southeast. It's going to travel, as we said before, in a westerly direction towards the southwest, and it's going to eventually set. Sunset will be on the southwest, which is, you know, if you have a square, it's on your bottom left, if you follow me. So now he's able to look at and determine the Tzad Dorom, the south. So just to summarize, if we're looking at the longest day of the year, which is the summer solstice, then we're going to be looking at the arch of the sun starting in the east, settling in the west on the northern side, making that Sivu, right? If we're in the winter solstice, where the day is the shortest day and the night is the longest day, then what we're going to be looking at is that as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, it's going to rise in the southeast and set in the southwest. So we'll be able to determine the south direction. And this is what Rabbi Yossi is offering us as a fallback position. If we don't identify the constellations in the sky, you know, what we spoke about, Taurus and Cancer, then all he has to know is where is the sun rising and setting during either the winter solstice, which will determine the south, or the summer solstice, where he'll be able to determine the north. Again, east and west is not an issue, because that's obvious. That's where the sun rises and sets. Then he says the following. We've been talking until now about the solstice. Now he's going to talk about the equinox. These are the 2 days of the year where the day, I think, is equal to the night. And we'll have the autumn equinox, and we'll have a spring equinox. And that's called Tkufas Nisan, that's the spring equinox, and Tkufas Tishrei is the autumn equinox. And once again, these are points of time on the, you know, on the calendar, the year calendar, where you can determine the directions. How so? Chama Yotze B'Chatzi Mizrach. In other words, the sun is rising midway in the east, and it's going to travel half of the east, all of the south, and half of the west. V'Shokas B'Chatzi Marov. And it's going to set in the middle of the Marov. So in other words, instead of making that entire round arc, in a certain sense, it's going to end up halfway, it's going to start halfway in the east and end up halfway in the west. But nevertheless, that will give you an idea where the directions are. And he's going to derive this from a pasuk. Now, he has a very long note here. I'm going to see if I can try to get through it. I'm not sure, but we'll give it a shot. He says the following. You know what? Maybe before we do this note, let's just finish the Gemara. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Koheles, Holech el Darom v'sovev el Tzafon, and the end of the pasuk says, Sovev, Sovev, Holech HaRuach. And this pasuk is describing the arc of the sun on a day which is called Hiluch. And to read the pasuk itself, it says that it travels, meaning the sun travels towards the south, circles to the north. It travels towards the south during the day and circles towards the north at night. And then the sun returns to the same position as where it started at sunrise. So he says the following. The spring and autumn equinoxes. I lost you there for a minute.
I know, my fingers got disconnected.
Oh, all right. He says, when the night and the day are equal, the sun appears directly overhead at noon on the equator. So the word tkufa refers to both equinoxes. And it also refers to the solstice, when the day is longer, the night is longer, and a new season begins. Now, the path of the sun during the day, if you're in the northern part of the world, goes through the southern portion of the sky at an angle to the observer. the sun is seen to complete a circle around the earth each 24 hours. Its return path at night would pass through the northern portion of the sky behind the earth. And this is true for all times of the year. So again, what he's going to see is a kind of an angled circle. And based on that angled circle, if he's looking from let's say east to west, he's going to be able to determine where is north and south because of the angle. Correct? So it means at nighttime he's going to see the path of the sun towards the north. And during, I don't know if he could see that, but in theory he could see it, right? And during the daytime, it's going to be the path of the sun towards the south. And that's how he's going to be able to determine the direction. So in the footnote, he says, Seder hiluch hachamo kachu, biyom haroch biyoter b'shono b'tkufas tamuz. So that we said with the summer solstice. Yotzes hachamo mikeren mizrochis, Tzfonis, we said it goes from the northeast. Umaleches bayom es sode mizrach dorom umarov. So the sun now dips towards the south and then turns towards the west. Vishokas, and it sets bekeren marovis tzfonis mamsh. It sets on that left corner, but on top, which is the northwest. Balila, what happens during the night? Soveves es tzad sofon bilvad. It travels on the northern side. Biyom shalom achroso. And the next day, nota chama biyitzia k'tzas yosel tzad mizroch. Right, when it enters or appears on the horizon, it seems to be a little bit more on the eastern side. Ubishkiyasa, when it sets, it's inclined towards the western side. And therefore he says he can determine Ayomim Miskatrim, the days are getting shorter, Ma'at, Vehalelos Misarchim Ma'at, and slowly the nights are getting longer, and all that is happening after the summer solstice. Ad shevet kufas tishrei, by the time he gets to the autumn equinox, magiaz man shebo ayom v'alayla shovim mamish. Why? Sha'oz yotzei sachama be'emtza mizrach b'diuk. At that point, the sun is exactly at the midpoint of the east. Umalechas, and it travels by yom during the daytime, es chatzi tzad mizrach v'tzad dorom v'chatzi tzad marav, and it goes towards the south and then comes up on the west. Shokas b'chatzi marav b'diyuk ubalaila soveves es chatzi tzad marav v'tzad sof v'chatzi tzad mizrach u'mishom v'yelich maschilim ayomim l'skatz, and now the days are beginning to get shorter as we move towards the winter equinox, when the days are the shortest. Okay then. So this is more or less the broader outlines of Rabbi Yossi, and he derives it from a pasuk in Koheles. Omer Rav Mesharshia, Lesnehu Lahani Kloli, none of these rules are accurate and reliable. The Sanya, because we have a brisa that says Lo yotza chama me'olam mikeren mizrachis tzfonis, it's not really accurate to say that there's a time in which the sun comes out on the earth from the northeastern corner, which was exactly what Rabbi Yossi was talking about when he spoke about the summer the summer solstice. And he says the following. Just 1 second. Did I skip anything? Let me just see. What did we have over here? We started with the summer solstice, right? So now we're saying that it's really not so. The Bryce is saying Lo yatza chama me'olam mikeren mizrachis tzfonis v'shaka b'keren ma'rovis tzfonis, right? Which means it went from the north to the north, just east to west. It means that even on the summer solstice in Tkufas Tammuz, the days are not that long, but rather the sun comes from the east towards the north, and it sets on the western side towards the north, but it's not exactly at the north. It's only notel etzafon. And the same is true for the winter solstice. V'lo yotza chama mikerem mizrachis dromis v'shaka b'kerem ma'arovis dromis. It's not what you said, Rabbi Yossi, that during the winter solstice we're going to see the sun going from east to west on the southern side, exactly on the southern corners. That's not really true. Even in Tkufas Teves, the days are not that short, although the sun does go from the eastern side towards the south and west and sets on the western side towards the south, but it's not as exaggerated, so to speak, as Rabbi Yossi would have us. Now, what's the upshot of what Rabbi Misharshi is telling me, based on this brisa? In other words, even in the summer, the sun always rises and sets south of true northeast and northwest, meaning it's not really up there on the corners of the north on east and west. It's always a little bit south. And in the winter, when we were saying that it goes on the southern side from east to west, that's also not exactly true. Even during the winter, the sun crosses a good part of the area at the eastern and western horizons during the day. And he has a footnote here, and he writes the following. The northeastern point on the circle is, objectively speaking, not where the sun rises, even on the longest day of the year. And that's not, in other words, what's not true is what we saw in Rabbi Yossi, that the northeast is, that's the corner where the sun rises. That's not really true, but rather halfway between due east and due north, which is not 28 degrees north, but rather only 45 degrees north, of due east. Again, this has to do with Yerushalayim. And he says the following way, that these extreme four points are those which divide the circle of the horizon into four equal parts, and all the arcs in all directions are equal. The face of the east is actually a larger arc fronting the area connecting northeast and southeast. It's not just the area fronting the arc connecting the point of the northernmost sunrise with southernmost, as Rabbi Yossi would have had it, and the face of the west similarly in the area fronting the arc connecting north and south on the west, is not just the area in front of the arc connecting the point of northernmost sunset with southernmost sunset. He says that in this system, each of the four arcs is of equal length, which they would not be in the previous system. Okay, so this really requires a little bit more knowledge of astronomy than I have. I don't know about you, but...
Yes, definitely. It's a little bit on me.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you do have a much longer day in the summer and a much shorter day in the winter.
But I don't think he's denying that. I think he's just denying that the ratio is exactly as extreme as Rabbi Yossi would have it. What I'm trying to figure out is what exactly is the second system. Okay, it, obviously things have changed in terms of the arc of the sun and the connection between north and south, but I don't know exactly, you know, like we say, Meinaf Kabina. I'm not sure that I don't have. If, once I get that, then I'll have a deeper grasp on this Gemara. Now we have another introduction here, which I'll read. The solar year, of course, is 365 days, but it's also 6 hours long. Now, if we divide that number, 365 plus 6 hours, into four, and we get the four seasons, which make up the entire year, each season will be 91 days and 7.5 hours. Okay, so if you take 91 times 24 plus 7.5, you'll end up with 365 and 6. So if a particular season were to begin at nightfall of the fourth day of the week, okay, and this has to do with the creation of the world, I guess. He says, for example, and again, that's just one example, but it's, let's say on the fourth day of the week, you've begun nightfall, the following season, of one particular season, so the following season, which again is going to be followed by 91 days and 7.5 hours, would begin 13 weeks later. Right? And that's not enough. You have to add to 13 weeks 7.5 hours into the night, otherwise known as an hour and a half past midnight. Like, let's say, we'll call it 1:30 a.m. The third season, because we've passed the second season, we're up to third season, which again is going to be 13 weeks later, is going to begin 15 hours into the fourth day. Right, so we started with the fourth day at 1:30 a.m., and now, for the third season, we're already 15 hours into the fourth day, which is much, much later. Instead of 1:30 a.m., we are 3 hours after sunrise. He doesn't tell you on the clock what that time would be. Then the fourth season would begin 13 weeks later, 10.5 hours into the day. Which, again, in every case, we're adding, you know, that extra 7.5 hours. So then, when the first season came around again, this is the second year, the following year, it's going to begin on the fifth night of the week, rather than the fourth night of the week, 6 hours after nightfall, which is midnight. So all this is meant to be a simple introduction. Again, if we had a calendar, it would be a little bit easier. If you take a look at footnote number 24, he writes, the difference in the beginning of a season from 1 year to the next is 1 day and 6 hours. So in other words, if you start a season and then you count a full year later, you're going to be 1 day further when you start that same season a year later, plus 6 hours. So let's say if summer began on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on year number one, year number two, summer is going to begin on Thursday, which we said is a full day later, but now we're going to add 6 hours to the 1:30, and we're going to end up at 7:30. Now, all this is an explanation for the difference between, you know, when we need a leap year. He says it would take 28 years for a cycle to run its course, until the season begins at the same exact time of the same day of the week. So it's going to take 28 years to catch up to where we started with. Since each season falls 1.25 days later each year, it's only after 28 years when the culminative gain is 35 days, which is 28 times 1.25, that's when the gain comes to an even number of weeks. So if the season were to begin at noon on Wednesday, it would take 28 years before it would again reach, you know, the kickoff of that season would be noon on Wednesday. Now this is based on the assumption that, as we said before, the year is made up of 365 days plus another, 24 divided by 4 is 7.5 hours, or 1/4 of a day. And this is known as Tkufa Shmuel. And this is used for determining the times of various observances, such as V'sein Talamata Livracha. Our calendar is based on Tkufas Rav Ada, which is a more precise reckoning in which the solar year is calculated as 365 days, 5 hours and 55 minutes, and 25.44 seconds. This is Kihi Chochmaschem Ubinaschem. You know, the fact that our, you know, rabbis back at the time knew these precise calculations is mind-boggling. Anyway, the difference between Tkufas Shmuel and Tkufas Rav Ada is approximately 4.5 minutes per year, and comes to a day each 315 years. Okay. Omar Shmuel, ain't Kufas Nisan Nofeles. So now we're talking about a day in Nisan. Elabi Arba Rive Hayom. 4/4 points of the day. Now let's see if we can figure out what that means. Nightfall, midnight, daybreak, noon, at the Nisan season, which is the spring equinox, the day and the night are each essentially 12 hours long, so that these four times together constitute the quarter points of the cycle, 6 p.m., 12 midnight, 6 a.m., 12 noon. O b'chatzi hayom, o b'chatzi halayla. Okay, that we said. And once again, he has a long note here. He writes that the sun was placed into orbit at nightfall on the fourth day of creation. So we have to go back to Maaseh Bereishis, the beginning of the Nisan season. I'm not sure exactly how he knows this. Every subsequent year, the season begins 1.25 days, that's 1 day and 6 hours later. So then in the second year, it begins at midnight, the third year at daybreak, and the fourth year at midday. On the fifth year, once again, begins at... Right, it begins at nightfall. So the sun began on the fourth day of creation at nightfall, and 5 years later, again, Tkufas Nisan will begin at nightfall, but 1 day later. So this he calls a four-year cycle, right? He's not counting the first year, so he has second, third, fourth, and fifth year, until he gets to the fifth year, the fourth-year cycle. And this repeats itself ad infinitum. So this is all based on Tkufas Shmuel. V'ein Tkufas Tammuz Nofeles Ela Obi Achas Umechza Obesheva Umechza. Now, how does he know that? That Kufas Tammuz and the summer solstice will begin either at 1.5 hours or 7.5 hours into the day or into the night. He says, whether in the day or whether at night, a season always falls 13 weeks and 7.5 hours after the previous one, since the spring began only at nightfall, or midnight, or daybreak, or noon. The four possible times that the summer season can begin would be 7.5 hours into the night, 1.5 hours into the day, 7.5 hours into the day, or 1.5 hours into the night. I feel like I'm almost there, but I don't have it clear. Let's just go on for a minute. The Eint Kufas Tishrei Nofeles Ela O B'Shalosh Shos O B'Teisha Shos, whether it's 3 or 9 hours, Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. So the same time lapse between the previous season and the new one adds, you have to add 7.5 hours to the four possible times in which the previous season began. And Tkufas Teves, Ain't Tkufas Teves Nofeles, Ela Obi Arbo Mechza, Obi Eser Mechza, 4.5 or 10.5 hours, Bein Beyom Bein Balayla, Vi Ain Bein Tkufa L'Tkufa El Tishim, Vi Echad Yom V'Sheva Shosu Mechza. So that's where he spells it out, that the beginning of one season and the beginning of the other season is 91 days and 7.5 hours. Vi Ain Tkufa Mosheches Michavert El Chatzi Shah. The beginning of one season to the next changes by only half an hour. So once again, he has a very long note over here. He says that all the visible stars remain in a fixed position on the celestial sphere with respect to each other. There are 7 exceptions to this rule which are visible to the naked eye. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he means. He's trying to explain, Eina tkufa mosheches mechaverta ela chatzi shah. I think he's trying to explain that chatzi shah. He says that these are known as shiva kochve leches, the 7 moving heavenly bodies. That's Mercury, the Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, and Venus. These 7 may be observed to move with respect to fixed stars. He mentions here in a note that the English word planet derived from the Greek word wanderer. The remaining planets of the solar system, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto, are too faint to be detected without a telescope. Chazal taught that each of these 7 serves in a different hour of the day, following one another in a continuous cycle in the sequence given, beginning with the first hour of the week. So in the first hour after Shabbos ends, Mercury serves. So this has to do with Tkufos. Following by the moon in the second hour, Saturn in the third, and then we go on to Jupiter, Mars, the Sun, and Venus. In the 7th hour, Venus serves, and Venus is the last of the 7. The entire cycle repeats itself, beginning with Mercury in the 8th hour. Okay. Thus, in the first hour of Sunday morning, the sun serves, followed by Venus. He says that this cycle is not known in any astronomical occurrence. Rashi quotes a book by Rav Shabsai Dinolo, the physician, which explains the reason for this sequence. So again, we have seven moving stars, and they're in a cycle, and it repeats itself endlessly. And we're going to be able to determine which hour of the week, if we start with Motzei Shabbos, each one successively of these seven planets will begin. Now, I'm not sure exactly what it means. You know, in the sequence of these seven planets, he says they may be observed to move with respect to the fixed stars. I'm not sure what he means by to move with respect to fixed stars. He assumes we know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. But in any event, that's what Shmuel is telling us. And I think that this has to do with various calculations. He says that Ein lecha, Amar Shmuel, Ein lecha tkufas Nisan shenofels b'tzedek, that the Nisan equinox would not fall in the hour of Tzedek. Tzedek is the Hebrew word for Jupiter, which we said was one of the planets that we don't see. No. I'm mistaken about that. There are three planets that we don't see, and Jupiter is not one of those three. It's one of the seven that we do see. She'eino mishaberes es ha'ilanos, which literally means it doesn't ruin the trees. You do not have the Nisan equinox following at Jupiter, which does not break the trees. And it never happens that Teves, which is the winter solstice, falls out in the hour of Jupiter. So I guess these are kinds of meteorological situations that could destroy the produce, whether it's the trees in the case of Tkufas Nisan, or whether it's the seeds that are drying out in the case of Tkufas Teves. For who dis yalid livana o bilivana o betzedek. And this is true provided that the moon in that month makes its new appearance during the hour of either moon or Jupiter. So he writes here in the note that these calamities occur in a year in which the spring or autumn equinoxes begin in the hour of Jupiter, and holds true only if the new moon of that Nisan or Teves of the equinox begins, it's Molad, in either the hour of the moon or the hour of Jupiter. So Shmuel is already predicting, you know, various kinds of like storms that are going to ruin either the fruits or perhaps the grains. And this leads us to Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. And I'm tempted to think that this last discussion of Shmuel is kind of a digression from the main topic, which is how to establish the Tchum of a city.